Like I say, we appreciate the privilege and the opportunity to be here this morning. Appreciate you being here and that of the service. Just trust and pray that you'll pray for us for just a minute. If you want to read with us, we're going to read some out of the book of Revelation, the second chapter and the 22nd chapter, I believe it is. Pretty familiar scripture. We're gonna read. We're gonna start with the 12th verse, second chapter, the book of Revelation. Revelation, the second chapter, 12th verse. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath a sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was a faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against thee with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth saving he that receiveth it. 22nd chapter. We're going to start with the 16th verse. Says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto you, unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now, maybe correctly reading, that's reading a portion of the second chapter of the book of Revelation, and also a portion of the 22nd chapter. There's many things in that I've read unto you, but there's just a little thought that we've got this morning, and we'll just trust the Lord that He'll send the word that we need in this service today. You get to thinking about things, I guess, a lot of times. You get to looking around, and there's things, according to what I've read to you this morning, that are written in this book. And the 22nd chapter says, take heed, in other words, that any man add to this or take away from this. What I want to really talk to you about this morning is how important it is that it's written. How important that it is that it's written. I read in the second chapter, and he said, if you'll repent and you'll let the Spirit talk to you and lead you and overcome, he said, I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written. Written. Bible says in one place, I believe the disciples come to him, and they was at this time somewhat about 70. And they had come to him, and they was all rejoicing because that they had went out and the devils had fled when they spoke in Jesus' name. And the Lord told them when they drawed back and come to the midst, he said, rejoice not that the spirits are under subjection unto thee, but rather rejoice because thy name is written in heaven. Now, folks, there's something to that is written. There's no reason for us today. You can call me old fogey or backwards or anything that you want to call me, but there's no reason today for a man, woman, boy, or girl to leave this world unsaved. We've got the written word of God. Have we not? We've got that, my friend, that has been proven, documented, brethren, sealed by the Holy Ghost. Thank God you cannot change it. No, sir. There's no way under God's heaven, my friend, that you'll change anything that's written in that book. You may alter it. You may ignore it. Say that it don't mean what it says, but the fact of it is written, and folks, it is written in stone. Yes, it is. To a place, my friend, that the word will not change for any individual living. It stands for all. It most certainly does. I know they've got revised versions, and they've got this kind of version in NIVs and REVs and the KJV revised and all such as that. But I want you to know that the bottom line is that this book teaches and says exactly what it means. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. You might think today, preacher, It's been around forever. It most certainly has. Why in the world would we want to change it? Why would we want a doctor with it? Why would we want to fool with the precepts that this Bible teaches? There's things, my friend, that's in this Bible. There's things that's written today that you will not change. My friend, they say it'll take an act of Congress to do so. Yes, sir. There's bylaws in the earthly world. Yes, they are. There's laws and bylaws. And you'll never change them. You might do the same thing that you do with the Word of God. You may ignore them, but brethren, they still stand because they are written. Yes, sir. There's no way under God's heaven, my friend, that you can change something if it is written, documented, and sealed. You'll not change it just because you don't agree with it. Ain't there some importance? Isn't there some importance, my friend, on things being written? Used to back in the day, my friend, I know that a man could shake another man's hand, they'd make a deal, and you could count on it. Not today. Not today. Preacher, what do you mean? You better have it written. You better have it documented, authoritated. Yes, sir, sealed. Thank God, and stored and recorded, brethren, why it means something. Jesus told them, he said, rejoice not, because the spirits are under subjection unto you, but rather rejoice. Why? Because your name is written in heaven. Folks, if you don't know that, then you're lost. Undone. You have no record. Why, preacher, you don't know where it's written. It's written in heaven. I'll say this. He said to them that overcome, I'll give a little white stone. Is that not what he said? He said, and they ain't nobody knows the name except him that receiveth it. Amen. Thank God it's written today. You ain't gonna change it. It's written in heaven, folks. That's where the joy comes from. That's where the rejoicing comes from. It's needful that things be written. It's been all the way back down through the ages of time. Do you know why? Do you know why, my friend, that Jesus Christ himself had such a time when he come into this world, my friend, to try to show them that the kingdom of heaven was coming? My friend, he had such a hard time because of things that were written. Now, had they studied these things out, they would have found out that he had taught them that the kingdom of heaven was coming. But they didn't understand. We had in our Sunday school. They didn't understand. They did not. They understood naturally, but brethren, they could not get a hold of the spiritual aspect, my friend, of being born again. They couldn't, because they know nothing about it. Nothing. Jesus was teaching them, and he is telling them what was coming, what was going to happen, how it's going to happen. I'm glad we've got the New Testament, don't you?
Yes.
I'm glad, my friend, it's written. Yes, sir, for mine and your benefit. Brethren, they didn't have that. All they had was the old. That's all they had. I want you to know that old was sufficient, brethren, for them of that day. And it would lead them to the Messiah if they believed it, my friend. Things written, it's important. It's important somewhere down through the ages of time when you was born, there was something recorded. Now you might be one of them that's recorded in the Bible. There's a lot of them back yonder, my friend, they didn't have it down to courthouse, didn't have the baby down to hospital, my friend, but they had an old family Bible. Had your name in it. The day that you was born is written. And I'm going to tell you, my friend, it was recognized. Recognized. Yes, sir. In this day, it's recognized because somebody wrote it down. Written. How important is it to have written? Written. You say, preacher, you mean my name's written in heaven? If you've been born again? If you've been born again. Yes, sir. Your name's written. I'm going to tell you something. If you've been born again, thank God you know it. Without a doubt. You know it. How important is it that things are written? Man has written things all his life. I'm going to tell you, I know that the Lord inspired men by the Holy Ghost to write the Bible. But I can't help but to believe that old Moses kept some record somewhere. Yes, sir. He wrote the first five books by the inspiration of God. Yeah. Who's to say? I don't know about you. You might say, preacher, God don't do that anymore. Try him. Try him. Give him a shot. I don't write my sermons. But I'm going to tell you something and profess to you something, my friend. I have written a sermon. Hey, I ain't never tried it again. And the one that I wrote, all I done was wrote it. Huh? I ain't never preached on it. I don't reckon crafting. I don't reckon. You say, preach, I tell you what, I got to writing and the Lord just started giving. Giving, giving. You ever get in that book, my friend, and him just open it to you? And brethren, he start revealing things to you. And brethren, you get to the place where I can't set this down. We're going over here. When we get over there, we're going over here. Once we get done with that, we're going over here. Ain't it wonderful when God gets a hold of you, my friend, and he brings all those things back to your remembrance? Preacher, I don't understand that, brother. God gave me a message on Monday. You could ask me Tuesday, my friend. I couldn't tell you anything about it. Fact. I've had a hold of things, my friend. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. You know what? I read that is written. Written. Yes, sir. God inspired them men to write it. Why in the world can't he inspire us to preach it, my friend? He can do it. Brethren, we got too many isms and schisms. We got too many my thoughts and your thoughts. Absolutely. Now I'm going to tell you how close it puts us. How close it puts us. My friend, if I don't stick with what that word says, if I don't stick with what it teaches, my friend, I am adding and taking away. Amen. I read to you what happens to them that add and take away. Yes, sir. Why, the Lord said this, but I don't think that applies today.
Come on.
Huh? That was way back yonder, hundreds and thousands of years ago. I'll tell you something. You get in the book of Proverbs and the book of Ecclesiastes, and you'll find out that man hadn't changed from the beginning.
Amen.
No, sir. Ecclesiastes said there ain't nothing new under the sun. That it's coming, it's already been. Is that not what he said? Nothing new? You ever come up with something new? Huh? Think about it. When it comes to this word, folks, it is written, documented, recorded, sealed by the Holy Ghost. Preacher, you really believe that? I sure do. I sure do. It's important that things are written. You can't tell somebody, my friend, well, I'm just going to give this to you when I die. It better be written somewhere. And when it gets written, it better be sealed. Is that not right? Once it's sealed, you know what it ought to be? Recorded. Is that not right? Yes, sir. Because what's going to happen when you die, and just because you said you was going to give it to them, who knows what was said? Is that not right, Daniel? Who knows what was said? It's got to be written. It's needful that there be a written portion even concerning your life. My daughter gave me a little book. I ain't wrote nothing in it yet. But that's the reason she gave it to me. She said, Daddy, I want you to fill this out. She said, it's got questions in there. Said, I want you to fill it out. You know why she wants it filled out? She wants to know. She wants to know what it was when I was born. How was it that we made it around the house? Huh? What kind of living did you do? What kind of anything? I hadn't read all through it. I ain't answered the first question yet. But I'm going to tell you, boys, something. I plan on doing so. I plan on doing so. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter probably to anybody in this world. But I have kept a journal since day one I started preaching. I have every revival. I have every church that I've ever pastored. I have who we baptized while I was there. Don't mean nothing to anybody, but it means something to me. I put my first day, I put my last day, and I put a little comment. You hear me? I put a little comment. Every death I've ever had, every marriage I've ever had, brethren's written in this little journal. It ain't big. It ain't huge. It don't mean nothing to anybody in this world. But I got news for you. I'm not ashamed of where my God has put me. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm absolutely thrilled. Yes, sir. Absolutely thrilled. Crafton? that he called me. Wasn't too thrilled when I had to give it in. But I'm absolutely thrilled that when he called me, Daniel, he did not forget me.
Amen.
Amen. It's important, folks. You go back into the days. You go back into the days of Esther. Now, Esther was put in a position, my friend, that her uncle Mordecai knew more about the situation than she did. And Esther operated under the advice of her uncle Mordecai. Yes, sir. She wouldn't have done one thing had it not been for Mordecai. But Mordecai knew the Lord. And the Lord had put Mordecai in this particular place, my friend, to get his work done.
Amen.
And Mordecai one day was standing by, and there's a couple of the king's leaders over there planning a plot how to kill him, get rid of him. The king. And I want you to know something, that brethren, there was an old scribe around somewhere writing down everything that Mordecai done. It was noted, all kings had them, had their own scribes, and they'd go about, we'd call them busybodies, but they'd go about writing the day. What happened today? What's going on today? You can go to old colonial Williamsburg, Virginia, right now. You can go today. You can go up there, and you know what they're doing? They're enacting, reenacting what happened on today in 1776.
Yeah.
Yes, sir?
Yeah.
They're doing it. I've been there. More than once. History. I love it. But that's what they're doing. How can they do that, Daniel, except it be written somewhere? How do you think, my friend, it is that we know, my friend, and have the Declaration of Independence? Do you know they keep that under vault? Don't even let air get to it. That they might preserve it. Is that not right?
Yeah.
A written document about this United States of America.
Yeah.
It means something. Listen. Mordecai, they was one of the king's right-hand men. He didn't like Mordecai. His name was Haman. He actually hated Mordecai. Hated him. And the reason he hated him is because that Mordecai never showed him no homage. He never acknowledged him. Bottom line. Because Haman had different things in mind. I'll just leave it like that. Days went on, years went on. Esther became queen. No, Haman put together devised a plan to get rid of all the Hebrew Jews. Get rid of them. And Mordecai heard about it. Mordecai called to Esther. Esther, come. He told her everything that's going on. And Mordecai said, you get you a banquet.
Yeah.
Said, you go tell King Ahasuerus, I believe it was. Ahasuerus, something like that. Ahasuerus. Anyway, in the meanwhile, things was getting put in place. Haman on the other side, my friend, had his plan going. We're going to get rid of all these Jews. Not only that, said, we're going to get rid of that one man, Mordecai. Yeah. He built him a gallows, didn't he? 15 cubits high. Yeah. Scripture says that Esther told Mordecai, said to Mordecai, said, I can't just go in. Said, he'll have to put out the scepter or else I can't go in. Mordecai said, you just go home. Huh? You don't think God can move when man can't?
Amen.
He said, you just go on. She went out and she was out there in the middle court. The Bible says the old king held out the scepter. Yes, sir. Come in. Come in. And she began to tell the king, said, we're going to have a banquet. And said, you're invited. And said, I want you to bring Haman. Now, Mordecai didn't have one thing to do with getting rid of Haman. You hear me? Mordecai had not one thing. The king told old Haman, said, we go into a banquet. Esther's invited us. And brother, he went off the deep end. The Bible says this night that the king couldn't sleep.
Bless him.
Couldn't sleep. Sleep left him. You know what he said? He said, come around and read me out of the book. Huh? Read me out of the book. Brethren, they read him some things that went on a year or two ago. Past. He read about Mordecai. And them two that was going to have him done away with. Did he not? The old king got to thinking, well, what in the world have we done for Mordecai? Is that what he got? Why? Because it was written. Is that not right? Written. How important the written word of God is. We take it for leisure. We do. It used to be, I don't think it is anymore, it's close, the number one book sold in the world. Is that right there? Don't tell me there ain't some importance in there. Don't tell me people of our day have tried to disprove. Disprove what that word says. And you know what, folks? It's still standing. It's still the word of God. It's still written. I've said this before. I'll finish Mordecai in a minute. I've said this before. It wouldn't surprise me, brother, that people come to the point that they want every one of them burnt, done away with. They've done a lot of things. But it wouldn't surprise me. And somebody asked me about that a few years ago, and I had this, Lord, give it to me just as quick as they ask. I said, let them burn it. Preacher, let them burn it. I believe there's enough instilled in our hearts that we could gather together and we could rewrite her back down. I believe that. It's in my heart, ain't it yours? You can do away with that. Huh? You get to the place, you say, preacher, not so. Yes, sir. The Bible even teaches us it's no more written, my friend, on tables of stone. It is written upon the tables of your heart. If it's not, it don't mean much to you. Amen. Amen. Written. The old king said, what in the world? What can we do for Mordecai? He called old Haman. Old Haman's head got about that big. Boy, he's fixing to fix me up. He's fixing to give me some gold. He's fixing to put me in a higher place. Yeah. Old Haman come in. Mordecai, the king, said, Haman, said, what's going to be done for the man that the king most honorably and likely wants to display? Said, what can we do for him? Haman, what can we do for him? Yeah. Haman's in the position where there ain't nobody he thinks more of than me. So he pours it on. Old Haman says, let thy horse be brought around. Yeah. King's horse. And said, let thy royal apparel be put upon him. And said, let him be paraded throughout the streets of the city with the proclamation that this is the man in whom the king most honorably wants to display. Yeah. Yeah. Boy, it sounded good, didn't it? Yeah. And the king said these words, Haman, he said, you go get Mordecai and you do exactly what you just said. Don't let anything fail. And said, Haman, you parade him. Listen, parade him around the city. Listen, folks, there's something to what's been written. Written. How important is it? Bible says the next day they hanged Haman on them gallows. Did they not? The king found favor in Esther's eyes and saved all the Jews, the Hebrew. Glory! God ain't never forgot his people. Who? He ain't going to. Not today. Not tomorrow. I'm glad, my friend, my name's written in heaven. Ain't you? That ought to be something to rejoice over. Because your name is written in heaven. Listen. Did you know the devil himself knows the written word? Yes, he does. He used it against Jesus Christ himself. Did he not? Three different times. He asked him, he said, is it not written? Is it not written? Three different times he used it. Why did it stand? Because it was written. But there's something that the devil didn't know at that particular time, that he was talking to the Word of life. The Word of God. And the Word of God shall prevail. Yes, sir. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And there was not anything made that was not made by Him. He was the light of men, was He not? Go on. You can read it right down through there. Come down to the 14th verse, and it said, "The Word was made flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten Son of God." What's that, preacher? The Word. The Word, folks. Where did we get it? Right there. Right there. That's it. Can I tell you something? I said a while ago something about Moses must have kept some footnotes or something. Y'all don't believe that, do you? There's something that says right here. I ain't got my glasses. I'm going to read it just a little bit. In the beginning, God created, about all I can read. You can read it. It's in yours. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I was trying to read that little print. He got some bigger print in here. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. John said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God." God created. Listen. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. I ain't going to get into that. He wasn't talking about the sun.
Amen. Amen.
Listen. You can go on and read it. It's in the beginning. It's real. It's documented. It's sealed. Thank God it's recorded. Yes, sir. It's recorded. I'm going to tell you something, folks. It's recorded right here in my heart. It is. I can't pull it up and read it just when I want to. But, brethren, there's times that it comes to life. I mean, it comes to life. Preacher, you ain't reading the book. It comes to life. And brethren, there ain't no difference in me reading it. It's better. Got life in it. That's how you understand it. Written. It's important that things are written. You go out here on any tombstone you want to look at. They've got a beginning date. And if they've passed away, they've got an ending date. How can they put that on there except it be written somewhere? You can go to Bartow County, you won't find my birth certificate. You go to Floyd County, Rome, Georgia, and you'll find my certificate. I was born in Floyd County, Georgia. Floyd Hospital. 1954, on the 28th day of November. You know why I can tell you that? I've been there. I've had to use that birth certificate every now and again. Couldn't find it. Had to go get one. You know how I got one? Because it was written, recorded, documented. Now, How important is it that the Word of God is written? How important is it that there's a written word? In the days of Josiah, he sent them over to count the treasure. And in counting the treasure, you know what they done? They found the treasure. They found the book. Oh, Shealtiel, I believe was his name. He come over and said, King, old king, said, we've found the book. You know what they had not been doing, Steve? They had not been reading the book. They had not been reading what's written. How important is it to us? Bible says that they begin to read out of that book, and the king rent his clothes. In shame that the people of Israel had not been keeping what was written in the book. Listen. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. Come and get a verse of a song. That's going to be the message. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. How important? How important is the written word? And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, listen, and from the things which are written in this book. Pretty important. It's not my word. It's not your word. It's the word of God. It will stand. And it is written. It is. Let us stand.
550 in the Songs of Faith.